Good morning. Thanks for the invitation. And I just modified the title a little bit, keeping in mind the lineup speaker. They are behind me. So I think there is a great group of people who is going to talk. So I try to add soil hydraulics in addition to soil moisture, where I'm going to focus a little more. My co-authors are Michael Koss, Venkat Lakshmi, and Karthan Manja. So in this community and even beyond, that soil hydraulics and soil moisture are important for various different applications to various different activities that what we do in soil physics or in hydrology. So as you can see from the list, the couple hydro physical, chemical, microbial processes to contaminant freight and transport, different traffic conditions, agricultural water management, in hydrology, flood forecasting and drought, eventually, ultimately to weather predictions and climate predictions. So most of these applications would need different types and different scale of information of soil moisture and soil hydraulics. So in other words, what we are measuring in the field, are they going to be applied in these different scales or not? And how we can fill in those gaps through our different measurements and understanding. So that is the main focus of this particular work. So if you look at this picture, over this last couple of decades, we have evolved as a group or as a community to measure soil moisture using different in situ techniques, all the way from TDRs, capacitance probes, to now GPS, cosmic energy sensors, to aircraft airborne sensors, eventually to satellite sensors at different wavelengths. So some of the more recent sensors are, for example, SMAP, SMOS, Aquarius, and just recently Sentinel, which was launched. So all these sensors monitor your moisture at different scales, as we are talking here from centimeter to hundreds of kilometers across the globe. And so using those, so most of the sensors are measuring different frequencies like C-band, X-band, and many of these recent sensors are penetrating at a resolution of 1.2 to 1.4 gigahertz, which is like L-band and SMAP and SMOS. Just to give this remote sensing 101 here a little bit on radiative transfer model. So essentially what you're looking at the land surface is the emissions that is coming out. So whether it is active or passive. So active essentially means when you have a radar and you are giving a signal and you're getting a response back. On the other hand, passive is essentially what is the emissivity coming out of the land surface in a passive way. So using this information, we are looking at some of the things which are mixture of information coming from the land surface, which are influenced by the topographic features, the plants, and the soil, so all together. So that is one of the important points to remember. It is not just the soil, it is all composite of all these different features that coexist in your land surface. So this is a plot, I just want to defer it to a paper we published recently in Windows Zone Journal, the remote sensing of soil moisture, state of the science. And these locations are basically the core sites doing the core validation of soil moisture predictions or estimations using remote sensing. Below this figure, the bar plots, I'm sorry that the legends are chopped off here, but if you look at these curves here, so the green essentially shows the vegetation, the browns are soils, and in between those blue colors are the topographic features. So if you look at these three different locations, starting from Arizona, Iowa, and Oklahoma, you'll notice that most of the time, it is soil which is most prominent and dominant at this finer scale. And as you go up in the higher scale of the spatial scale, the dominance of soil decreases. On the contrary, your topographic features and their attributes, as well as the vegetation, they grow as we go across the scale. So having said that, you can see that all of them are influential, but to different extent in different scales. So keeping that perspective in mind, so one of the overarching goal currently we have is how to monitor, of course, soil moisture and how to utilize the soil moisture to derive your soil hydraulic properties in an effective manner of the entire globe to start with. So in this particular thing, we are trying to develop a multi-scale framework, both saturated and unsaturated hydraulic properties, and soil water that encompass your soil water retention and soil hydraulic conductivity and their parameters by blending in the static information that we are getting from our legacy soil survey information plus your dynamic information that comes from your soil moisture remote sensing data. So this is essentially we are trying to utilize all these informations, our different extents, spacing, and your resolutions using the in situ as well as the remote sensing data to derive these parameters. To summarize some of our findings over these years, that what we found based on various different experimental work and remote sensing work, that as I said before, if we go from local scale or point scale to continental scale, the evolution of parameters or the dominant features are going to change that contribute to your soil moisture dynamics as well as your soil hydraulics. So in other words, if you look at this, so the soil texture, as I said before, are going to be more prominent at the local scale and they will taper down. On the contrary, your vegetation and topographic features are going to go up in the ladder in your, as your scale increases. So that gives us a clue where we should utilize or use our resources to find out what is more effective parameterization for various applications. So this is an important finding, and that is what essentially drives a lot of our further research. These are some of the data sets that we are utilizing these days. So this includes like your soil moisture active passive data products. So L1 to L3 is essentially your raw data to process data from brightness temperature to soil moisture at different resolutions. So this essentially gives you the starting point. There is also a L4 product, which is the process data using data assimilation, utilizing all the L1 to L3 products of SMAP and doing modeling work and eventually assimilating the remote sensing data to produce the root zone soil moisture. If you know, the remote sensing data only gives you the near surface soil moisture, like top 5 centimeter. But this L4 product gives you up to a meter by fusing the information coming from the remote sensing product as well as your remote sensing, the modeling estimates. So utilizing all this information, we try to go to the next level, how to utilize this different soil moisture product at different scale and to generate more ethanol products, essentially, in other words, that can we derive these soil hydraulic properties that can feed into your future predictions, future modeling capabilities. So that is what we have been working on over these last several years. Where we are accounting, as I said, if you notice that in most of these soil physics sessions, you notice one thing or two things it always come across in various presentations: heterogeneity, and the second thing is your scale. So if we account for the heterogeneity, and in other words, there is no clear answer or a single answer to your complex problem here. So we are accounting how to aggregate the information to different ways to average the parameters that can give you a more predictive skill or better predictive skill at different scales for different models. Here we are talking about, like, these are different models like CLM, SWAP, NOAA. These are the land surface model we use. And another approach we have taken over these years is the inverse modeling. Of course, you can utilize all your data set that you generate from in situ sensing as well as your remote sensing and translate that to your products or the parameters that is going to be utilized for future predictions. And at the end, we want to generate these parameters across the continental scale of US. So that is going to be much more better alternative compared to maybe our STARTS-GO, SOROGO, or Polaris type of data sets that we have generated over these last several decades. So if I just translate what I said, eventually we are talking about two different sets of parameters at different scales. So we are talking about soil water retention functions and your soil hydraulic conductivity functions. Both are nonlinear, and if you look at, these are very simple presentations across different textural classes, but if I take a combination of different soil textural classes in a large area, eventually they will fall in some place depending on its composition of soil texture, their topographic features, as well as your vegetation, root systems, etc. So, in other words, I'm not interested just to find my soil hydraulics for the particular texture which is existing at a particular location. Rather, I'm looking for something more effective that coexists because of all these common threads or like your hydrologic features are existing in that particular location. So these are the typical models we use. For example, these are the models that are used in land surface model like NOAA, SWAP, CLM, and most of them are still using Richards equation, which is the assumption that the still Richards equation works, and these are corresponding hydraulic parameters like your Klappen-Hornberger equations or Van Gennepen equation. Some of these equations are utilized in this. So if we can find those particular parameters using remote sensing at different scales, then we are making a progress. So we have utilized this information, and in addition to that, taking the remote sensing data, for example, in one of the study watershed, and in addition, we are taking some of this data coming from the USGS gauges of stream flow, we try to close the water budget. Because as I said, at a larger scale, it is not just the vertical flow or not just the soil-driven flow, it is a composite of soil, topographic features, and vegetation, and all those kind of things together, giving the resultant flow process and the residual water content in different parts of this watershed. So utilizing this information we come up with, and this is just a picture of the snapshot of your time series of remote sensing data coming from an airborne sensor. So fusing this information with our river stages data as well as your other information that comes from different in-situ locations, these are our hydraulic properties in three different pixels or three different points. So utilizing this, you can see that these solid lines are inversely estimated parameters or hydraulic functions, and these lines whiskers are your actually measured hydraulic conductivity. So the variation in the point data is much more in many occasions compared to your remotely sensed data estimation of hydraulic properties. And we are not interested to match them together. Basically, there is effect of these large-scale features. That is why there is a difference between your estimated value from remote sensing compared to your point-scale data, point-scale information. So that was the vertical flow. Now we are trying to expand this work to lateral flow. So expand in the sense that water is not going to flow only vertically downward. So how we take advantage of the soil moisture data we estimate or monitor using remote sensing and connect them. So essentially we develop a connectivity index utilizing a statistical feature. As the water moves through this landscape, depending on the wetness conditions, whether they're connected to each other, and what is the statistical connection probability. So using this, we have taken different probability levels, and we say under this kind of wetness conditions, these particular pixels will be connected. So that is how the water is going to migrate in a large landscape here. If you look in a more three-dimensional view, the same thing, the water is going to move, as I said before, because of soil properties, because of your topographic features, and because of your other things that coexist. So water is going to move in this thing. What we see here, we translate all our features we see because of our soil eventually as a wetness condition, and we develop a binary issue whether it is connected or disconnected. So utilizing this information together with our previous efforts, we can come up with a more logical and more useful technique to give you an effective value at large landscapes. So essentially, if you take all this information of soil information, sand, clay, silt, and also you take the soil, the vegetation information like NDVI, topographic index, and you have a likelihood information, which is your remote sensing data of your soil moisture, you pull them together and you describe by different weights, and that eventually will describe your snapshot of soil moisture that you predict or observe through your remote sensing data or through your remote sensing platforms. So that eventually leads to your parameterization of your hydraulics across this large landscape and give you the answer correct even after in different wet conditions, dry conditions, normal conditions in different years. So that has been added to our features. So now, once we have done this, estimating these features at local scale to larger scale, we are utilizing this, whether it is valuable to derive these parameters at a continental scale. So utilizing all this information, what we are trying to do right now, the soil moisture persistence, that can we take this information and link up with all these different soil and hydrologic other parameters and see whether we can derive these parameters for different ecoregions or different types of climatic regions that people use in different predictions like NOAA and NASA and all those. And we have used the persistence approach. In these cases, essentially, we are trying to say, as we have measured the memory of the soil moisture, we utilized and eventually we try to see that whether this persistence is good or useful. So we have used a daily sets of remote sensing data or weekly mean values, and we see that the persistence remains similar even if we use the weekly or the daily data. So that gives us the indication that utilizing these informations, we can really make a nice progress of connecting all the dots here of different parameters in their persistence. So that means I can see, okay, my soil is more important in this particular region, then I can derive and give more weights there compared to maybe another region where maybe your vegetation and topographic features are more clearly giving signature for the flow. And these are the output of our locations of nine different regions. And you can see, if I just expand this figure here in a particular region, you can see that your high organic matter, low sand, high clay, and your gives a high persistence. Whereas your high sand, low clay, low organic matter gives a low persistence, or your high organic matter, high sand gives an intermediate persistence. So in other words, if I know all these combinations in different climatic regions, I can be better design my things or my approach or framework to give me hydraulic properties and soil moisture for my future predictions and skills in the different models. So we have done some of this analysis. Because of time, I'll just skim through, but essentially these are some of the locations and they can be related where these are coming from, whether because of the soil, whether these are because of vegetation, whether these are all other features. So this is what essentially we have done. So I would not conclude here, but I think this is a work in progress. So thank you so much for your attention.